come to you in Jesus' name this morning, and yeah, just very glad to be here with everyone. When Brendan mentioned that whole thing about Phil being 25, give or take a few, kind of reminded me, sometimes I just feel a need to come across a random, I don't know why this week, out of all weeks of my living 31 years, did I need to know how much I would weigh if I were on the moon? Like, why last week did I need to know that? So I figured out that I would weigh 28 pounds if I were on the moon. And if you could do the calculations, I'm trying to decide if I'd actually give you the equation or not. But, so the moon is has 1/6 of the gravity pull that the Earth does. So I think I've given you enough information to actually figure out what my real weight is. But that would be a new way for you to tell people how much you weigh. Just say that you're, or I'm going to say I'm 28 pounds on the moon. Anyway, boy, that was for free. We're going to kind of continue picking up a little bit where we left off last time. I kind of felt like we weren't finished with where we were. So if you hear things again that you heard the last time that I preached, it's probably because you did. And if we do things that we did the last time that I preached, it's probably because we did. I'm never in a hurry to move on from topics, because I think it helps us to get presented with something and then come back and revisit it. And so we're going to continue to kind of look at prayer as being something that's important, but also realizing in that words are powerful. And I think maybe the last time I had failed a little bit to be really clear with the purpose and the point of the message. And so it just really is going to boil down to two things. So number one is, let's just remember that words are powerful. And number two, we are going to use words to learn and encourage. So number one, words are powerful. And number two, we're going to use words to learn and encourage. And with today's focus on speaking encouragement into the future of the church. So I'm just going to say that again. Number one, just going to realize that words are powerful. And number two, we're going to use words to speak, to learn and encourage, with the idea today that we're going to continue to build the foundation for the future of the church. I just want to look at words as being powerful. I'm going to take us to Genesis. Genesis 27. And it's the whole time that Isaac blesses Jacob, and we know the story, how Esau was going to come in and be blessed by his father Isaac. And so Isaac sends him out to go get some wild game, which he loves, and Esau is going to prepare this, and then he's going to come back and he's going to receive this blessing. In the meantime, some background stuff happening that Isaac isn't aware of, and Jacob prepares himself to go in and deceive his father and take the blessing. And I'm just going to pick up the story here where Isaac comes in and he asks his son to come near to him so he can kiss him, so he can tell whether or not this is Esau, because he's like, this is the voice of Jacob, but you smell like Esau. And he gives his blessing, and I'm going to read the blessing, picking up in the the last part of verse 27. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who cursed you, and blessed be the everyone who bless you. So then we know that he ate the food that Jacob prepared for him, and then he went out, and Esau comes back in, and when Isaac realizes this, he trembled very violently and said, "Who was it that hunted game and brought to me, and I ate it before you came? I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed." And then Esau responds to that and cried out with exceedingly great bitter cry and asked his father to bless him. Now, I think in today's world and in today's culture, if that would have happened to us, if I would have been Isaac, I would have said, "Oh, my goodness, I was deceived. I mean, I spoke that thinking you were Esau. My goodness, what I just spoke over Jacob has no power because I thought I was speaking it to Esau. And so, yes, my son, I will bless you. I will bless you. Come here, and I'm going to give you that blessing." I think that's kind of a little bit how we would think or operate in today's culture. But Isaac understood something about the power of a spoken blessing, of a power of a word that came out of his mouth that could not come back. He said, "I have already blessed him," in verse 33. He said, "Yes, and he shall be blessed." And so Esau begs for a blessing from his father, but this is what he gets. He said in verse 39, the last part of verse 39, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." That is an entirely different blessing than what he had given, what he thought he was giving Esau. So I don't even know that I understand or can grapple with this, but I know that words have power because words are the very reason that we're here. If you go back into Genesis, again, I've taken you back to the beginning, because it's the very foundation that God spoke the universe into being. And one of the things that I love to think about, and I don't know if I've said it over the pulpit or not, but when God said, "Let there be light," and when he spoke, "Let me create the stars, let there be things that as you visualize the word of God's waveform, his voice form, just continue going out there forever as he reaches those parts of the outer space, that word that he spoke from the very beginning is continuing to make stars, continuing to make creation, because his word isn't hitting anything that stops it. It's just continuing to go. And from however long ago God said those words, his word is still traveling through space, creating those stars, because his word is eternal. It's forever. The power of the Word that we can't grapple with completely, but we know that Isaac understood something about it, that he was like, oh, no, you know, I can't just wipe that off the board. It's kind of similar in the New Testament where it talks about, you know, any blaspheme that's mentioned against the Son can be forgiven, but any blaspheme against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. How do we grapple with that kind of spoke? If you speak something that's a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, Scripture says that cannot be forgiven. If you speak it against the Son of Man and you repent, that can be forgiven. How do we grapple with those type of things? Those are very sobering words. So words are powerful. And I think words began to push into motion what we want to see happen as a church. They don't stop there, because we're also told that it's not just talk. The kingdom of God doesn't just consist of talk, it consists of power. But I think words help propel us into that power, into the fruit that we want to see. That we set the stage with our words, and then we fill it in with action. So I'm going to go back again to a little bit of the passage that I read in Acts the last time. Just again, just for a reminder, especially for those that were not here. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 were set before the council, and they were told that they could not speak or teach in this name anymore. And so they were to just go home and not teach, because the council didn't know what to do with these men. And so they go home, but they did not comply to that. Instead, they prayed for boldness. And I'm going to pick that up in verse 29. So chapter 4 in Acts, verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. And this is a prayer. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs of wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So they understood something was going on. The council was trying to strike fear into them, say, don't talk in this name. And instead they went home and say, God, give us boldness. Praying for boldness. And the Holy Spirit answered that prayer. The place that they were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So I'm going to go now to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. And this is where I think it's going to continue to be practical for us. And actually, I want to back up and read 26. So 1 Corinthians 14, starting verse 26. And this is just kind of an instruction for what orderly worship should look like. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn. Check, we've done that. We've sung a hymn. We've had a lesson. We had a devotional time. A revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. We haven't quite, I don't think we got there yet. Let all things be done for building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be only two or three, or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent, in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. Oh, there's those words, learn and be encouraged. Seems like I said something about that in the second point. And the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So there's definitely no place in there that I'm commanded to preach for 40 minutes. So we're going to continue to kind of go down a little bit of the same lines that we did last time. Was we kind of realized that we're in a kind of a unique season of our church life. We're young. We have young families, a lot of kids. But the season isn't going to remain forever. And it could be easy for us to be 10 years down the road from now and realize, you know what? We're in a different stage as a church body, but our mentality is still back here in this season. And so what kind of life and blessing do we want to speak into our church, into where we want to go, and to realize that our words have the power to set that into motion. And so I had everyone split up into different little groups and talk about what are ways that we want to encourage, to speak into motion the future of the church, or pray for vision or revelation for the church. So that was all part of it, and my intention was to give those groups opportunity to then share what they learned, what came out of those discussion times. And we didn't have enough time for that. So that's where we're going to kind of start off with. It's going to be an open time to speak. Whether or not you see yourself as a prophet, I think God puts things in each one of us. Be like, this is something that we need to encourage the church with and learn. And this is a little bit of a mentality that I hope that we can build in the fabric of our church, even during like our prayer and praise time, because it's so easy to often share just what God is doing in my life in the prayer and sharing time, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let's incorporate more encouraging, more learning, like going to Scripture and saying, this is what I'm seeing in Scripture. Let me encourage you with this. Let me bless you with this. And continue to be more balanced in our prayer and sharing. And so the only way that we can do this is by practicing. If we don't usually do this type of thing, then it's going to be uncomfortable a little bit because we don't normally practice it. But I want to give opportunity for people to say, this is what God said to our group. And if you weren't part of a group, if you weren't here the last time, and you feel like God is laying something on your heart to encourage the church with, to push into the future, because I talked to some of the people in those little different groups, and I saw some themes, and we're going to see if maybe we can pick up on some themes today. So, doesn't have to be huge, terribly profound, but let's speak encouragement. Where do we as a church want to see ourselves 10 years down the road? Let's speak into that. Let's speak into what our vision is for where we want to be. First Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. can go ahead and just play some of that piano music in the